safe from prying eyes, let the real party begin. Morning, Saul 48. A big morning, Jamie thought. The biggest that Mars has ever seen since we first landed here. It will be lonesome around here, Stacy Dejerova said morosely over breakfast. We won't be gone that long, said Mitsuo Fuchida. Less than a week. 4 weeks tops for us, Dex Trumbull said. The Russian cosmonaut seemed almost melancholy, which surprised Jamie. Usually, Stacy was impassive, businesslike. The dome will be quiet, she said, turning her glance from Trumbull to Fuchida. Dex grinned at her. Yeah, but when we come back, we'll have the old Pathfinder hardware with us, and the little Sojourner wagon, too. Jamie noted that the Japanese biologist had finished every bit of his breakfast of fruit and cereal. Despite his bravado, Dex's bowl was still almost full when he pushed it away. He had decided to let them go off on their separate excursions on the same day, if Stacy could land the fuel generator roughly in the area of Xanthi Terra that it had to be for Dex's trip to succeed. So the morning's work would be, first, launch the generator and land it safely in Xanthi. Second, get Dex and Possum off on their jaunt. Third, see Fuchida and Rodriguez take off for Olympus Mons. A big morning. A big day. Inwardly, Jamie worried that they were biting off more than they could chew. It's not good planning, Jamie told himself. There's no margin for error. It's not smart, not safe, and it certainly isn't good science. Dex is stealing 4 weeks from his work and Craig's. For what? To make money. To get glory for himself. Everyone crowded into the comm center as Dejurova made the final preparations to launch the generator. Everyone except Jamie, who suited up and went through the airlock to watch the launch with his own eyes. He knew he was bending the safety regulations to the breaking point, yet he walked alone to the crest of the little ridge formed by the rim of an ancient crater. The safety regs are too restrictive, he admitted to himself. We'll have to rewrite them sooner or later. From his vantage point, he could see the rocket booster standing on the horizon, the fuel generator still sitting at its top as always. He, Craig, and Dex had labored hard to install the backup water recycler back into the equipment bay where it had originally been. The booster's main tanks were filled with liquefied methane and oxygen. Jamie could see a wisp of white vapor wafting from a vent halfway up the rocket's cylindrical body. But there was no condensation frost on the tankage skin. There simply was not enough moisture in the Martian air for that. In his helmet earphones, Jamie heard the automated countdown ticking off. 4, 3, 2, 1. A flash of light burst from the rocket's base, and the booster was immediately lost in a dirty pink-gray cloud of vapor and dust. For a heartbeat, Jamie thought it had exploded. But then the booster rose up through the cloud, and he heard, even through his helmet, the whining roar of its rocket engines. Higher and higher the rocket rose, swifter and swifter into the bright, cloudless sky. Jamie bent back as far as his hard suit would allow, saw the rocket dwindle to a speck in the sky, and then it was lost to sight. By the time he had come back through the airlock and taken off his suit, there were whoops and cheers coming from the comm center. Leaving the suit to be vacuumed later, Jamie hurried to join the crowd. "Down the pipe!" Dejurova was saying. She sat hunched before a display screen, her thick-fingered hands poised over the keyboard like a concert pianist ready to play. But she did not touch the keys. She did not have to. The screen showed a plot of the rocket's planned descent trajectory in red, next to a plot in green of its actual course. The two lines overlapped, almost completely. "The wind is stiffer than we expected," Dejurova said, "but ne probleme." Rodriguez, sitting beside her, had an eager kid's look on his face. The others were clustered behind them, huddled together like a short-handed football team. 15 seconds to touchdown," Rodriguez called out. "Looking good," Dejurova said tightly.
"Looking great," shouted Possum Craig.
10, 9, I told you the spot was clear of boulders, Dex Trumbull said to no one in particular. Jamie saw that Vijay was standing beside Dex. His hand was on the small of her back. Jamie felt his nostrils flare with barely suppressed anger. 4, 3, 2, touchdown, Rodriguez announced. She is down, safe and sound, said Dezhurova. She swiveled her chair around and swept her headset off with a flourish. We're set for the run out to the Sagan site, Dex crowed, beaming with satisfaction. Not till we check out the fuel generator, partner, Craig warned. That contraption's got to be perking right before we go traipsing all the way out there. Yeah, sure, Dex replied, his triumphant grin shrinking only a little. Within an hour, they had all the data they needed. The water recycler's drill had hit permafrost, and the fuel generator was working just as if it had never been moved, already replenishing the booster's propellant tanks. Trumbull and Craig were suiting up. Jamie and Vijay were checking them out. Jamie with Possum, Vijay with Dex. Hope we can get the VR rig working right, Dex said as he lifted his helmet from its shelf. Even encased in the bulky suit, he radiated excitement, practically quivering like a kid on Christmas morning. Well, I'll finally get enough time to really tear her innards apart and see what the hell's wrong with her, Craig said. Their plan was for Possum to work on the faulty VR rig during the long hours of the trek when he was not driving the rover. Jamie was helping him put on his suit's backpack. Craig backed into it and Jamie clicked the connecting latches shut. Then Possum stepped away from the rack on which the backpack had rested. Electrical connects okay? Jamie asked. Craig peered at the display panel on his right wrist. All green, he reported. Good. Jamie plugged the air hose into Craig's neck ring. You're ready for your radio check, Vijay said to Trumbull. Dex slid his visor down and sealed it. Jamie could hear his muffled voice calling to Stacy Dezhurova, who was manning the communications center as usual. After a moment, he slid the visor up again and made a thumbs-up signal. Radio okay. It took Craig another few minutes to get his suit sealed up and check out its radio. Trumbull paced up and down restlessly. In the suit and thick-soled boots, he reminded Jamie of Frankenstein's monster waiting impatiently for a bus. We're all set, Dex said once Craig's radio check was done. He turned toward the airlock hatch. Hold on a second, Jamie said. Trumbull stopped, but did not turn back to face Jamie. Craig did. I know you've checked out the rover from here to hell and back, Jamie said, but I want you to remember that it's an old piece of hardware, and it's been sitting out in the cold for 6 years. We know that, Trumbull said to the airlock hatch. The first sign of trouble, I want you to turn back, Jamie instructed. Do you understand me? The hardware you're setting out to retrieve isn't worth a man's life, no matter how much money it might bring in on Earth. Sure, Dex said impatiently. Don't worry, I ain't no hero, Craig added. Jamie took in a deep breath. Possum, I'm putting you in charge of this excursion. You're the boss. Dex, you follow his orders at all times, understand? Now Trumbull turned toward Jamie, slowly, ponderously in the cumbersome hard suit. What kind of bullshit is this? He asked, his voice low and even. It's chain of command, Dex. Possum's older, and he's had a lot more experience living out in the field than either one of us has. He's in charge. Anytime you two don't agree on something, Possum is the winner. Trumbull's face went through a whole skein of emotions within the flash of a moment. Jamie waited for an explosion. But then Dex broke into a boyish grin. Okay, Chief, Possum's the medicine man, and I'm just a lowly brave. I can live with that. Good, Jamie said, refusing to let Trumbull see how much he hated Dex's sneering at his Navajo heritage. Gesturing toward the hatch with a gloved hand, Trumbull said to Craig, Okay, boss, I guess you should go through the airlock first. Craig glanced at Jamie, then pulled down his visor and clomped to the hatch. Vijay said, Good luck. Yeah, right, answered Trumbull. Craig waved silently as he stepped over the sill of the open hatch. The three of them stood in uncomfortable silence while the airlock cycled. When its panel light turned green again, Trumbull opened the hatch and stepped in. Before closing,